This is Sports Spectrum, the intersection of sports and faith, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
And welcome, everyone, to a Football Friday here on Sports Spectrum's podcast. So glad that you're tuning in to our show today. My name is Jason Romano. We got a great guest coming up in a second, Johnny Shelton from the Baltimore Ravens. I'll tell you a little bit more about Johnny in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about our 52-week increase devotional. It's almost Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? Which means we're thinking about gifts for the holidays. And I got the perfect gift for you. The Sports Spectrum Increase 52-Week Devotional. Inspiring stories of faith from the world of pro sports. 52 athlete stories from the professional sports world that you can go through with your team, with your children, with your coworkers, maybe by yourself, maybe just with a bunch of friends, maybe a men's group. This devotional is perfect for you. And you can go through, it's 52 weeks for a reason. It means that you can go through this at any point, but really the starting point next year, once a week, to have a devotional that you can hear a story from an athlete and then discuss it, be encouraged in faith, go through some scripture, a prayer, some questions to ponder. This is a perfect gift. The 52-week increase devotional from Sports Spectrum, inspiring stories of faith from the world of pro sports. Perfect for the kiddos as well, that teenager in your life that loves sports. Get the Increase 52-Week Devotional available now at Amazon and at theincrease.com. The 52-Week Devotional. Again, Amazon or theincrease.com. All right, let's get to our conversation today with Johnny Shelton from the Baltimore Ravens. He is a unique guest in the sense that he's a team chaplain, but he's actually a full-time staff member with the Ravens. You see, the NFL employs, or I guess provides, 32 team chaplains around the league. Every team has a chaplain, but there's only a few whose chaplain is actually full-time with the team. Well, Johnny Shelton is one of those guys. He's been with the Ravens since July of 2013. He's in season 9 now in the NFL, and Johnny joins us today to talk about that culture that the Ravens have, that locker room culture, the opportunity to minister, to pour into, to disciple, and really to encourage the players and the coaches that Johnny gets to be around every single day. Johnny Shelton is a fantastic individual. You're going to love this conversation with the Baltimore Ravens team chaplain, Johnny Shelton, right now on Sports Spectrum. Johnny Shelton, Baltimore Ravens team chaplain. Welcome to Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant, sir. How are you?
I am doing good, Jason. Thanks for having me, man. Everything's going well.
Good. It's so good to talk to you. You and I have known each other a while now, a few years in different spaces that we've interacted, but it's great to get you on this show. You're the first team chaplain that we've had. We've had coaches and players and former players and even a high school quarterback, but I thought your story and your role was such a unique one with the Baltimore Ravens that I thought, let's get Johnny on and let's talk to him. We're not going to talk about the season much or like what's happening on the field or off the field or anything like that as far as football. I really want to talk about the role that you have off the field as far as what you're doing as a team chaplain. Can we start there? Can you kind of just share with us specifically what your role is and what that entails?
Absolutely. My role, my title is team chaplain, spiritual advisor. And obviously, there's so many other hats, Jason, that we wear. I mean, father, uncle, brother, rev. It just depends on the different relationship that we have with whatever player it is. And so, but it's something that we don't take for granted at all, because God has placed us here in this building, in this city, you know, for this time. And so it's just it's a unique position to be in. The fact that I am full time in this building, full access, just as a regular coach.
So I've heard, you know, speak of coach, right? Coach Harbaugh is the leader. He's the head coach of the team. I've heard him talk about his faith being important to him. What's it been like being around a leader like Coach Harbaugh and just kind of him creating this culture that really was created before you got there? You came there in July of 2013,
but being around a leader like that and kind of following along with what he's been able to do, not just on the field, again, with the wins and all that, but just the culture within the locker room.
Right. You know, one thing that is so fortunate, Jason, is to be able to come into this organization and have a coach like Coach Harbaugh. You know, starting in 2013, his faith is something that he's very devout. He believes in the Lord, and as a leader, it shows. You know, I remember coming in and just talking with him and just seeing the boldness of his faith around players. But the thing that I like about it is he's bold, but it's in a way that's not pushing it on players. And that tells what type of leader he is. You know, he really, really gets to know guys, and he knows and he meets them right where they are. And so as a chaplain, it makes my job, I'm not going to say easier, but it makes it more welcoming to have a coach like that, where his leadership skills are constantly growing, but he's also growing spiritually. And you see both of those things working together. The time that I've been here, which is season number 9, even the growth from then has been phenomenal. So it's a really good place to be when you talk about just walking alongside him, praying with him, and him coming to me with questions about scripture. And it's a good place to be.
This season, what does discipleship look like for you and the team? What does it look like on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis? Because you said you're full-time, and that's not common in the NFL. I think for a lot of people watching, every team has a chaplain, but not every team has a full-time chaplain that's in there with an office in the building like you are with Baltimore. So it's a unique position, but you have this cool opportunity to disciple and to kind of go through different books in the Bible and different opportunities like that. What does this year look like for you as you work through it with the team?
Yeah. Thank you for saying that word discipleship, because that's the number one word. When you look at my time here in this building, I want to make sure that the time to be a good steward of the time that God has given me here, and being full time in this building, I'm actually able to have regular discipleship with the Christian players and coaches who's wanting to grow spiritually. So discipleship for me is just that, you know, whatever the time is based on their schedules. Football has a certain set schedule where they have their meetings and all of that, but around those times, but being in the building full time allows me to have discipleship time where another chaplain who's not full time won't be able to do. For instance, I'm in the building as early as 6 a.m. To have a discipleship time with the player, where we meet once a week, and we want to get that done before their regular meeting starts, or vice versa, during lunch or during a downtime period where we know what the schedule is and we're able to plug it in because I'm in the building and we have those times. And my time, my one-on-one time with the Christian players here is between 30 and 45 minutes, to where we get together on a weekly basis and we go through books of the Bible and make it applicable to their life.
Now, do you also lead Bible studies with the team throughout the week? I know you do chapel on Saturday nights, usually if it's a Sunday game as well, correct?
Well, actually our chapels here is on game day.
Okay.
We do, which is a little different from a lot of the other teams. Our chapel is 4.5 hours before kickoff. And on Saturday nights, I do something where we call a share time. And that's a time where we get together with, it's open to all of the players, and we get together and we talk about life issues. Mm-hmm. Whatever's on their hearts, we will go in the hotel after all of our meetings and we'll get together and we just talk about those things. I kind of just sit in the back, facilitate it, and just listen to hear the leaders lead that. Now, as far as leading Bible studies, we do have a Bible study with the players on Tuesdays here in the building, but it's not led by me. And that's one of the goals of ours when we first got here, meaning my wife and I, is to reproduce. We wanted to make sure that we pour into the leaders and eventually have them leading the studies. So we have players leading the player studies. There's the wives, girlfriends are leading their studies. And we have a couple leading the couple studies. And that's so great. the only study that I'm actually leading, and this is by design, is the coaches. I want to continue because they're pouring out so much. I want to pour into them. And so I'm still leading the coaches studies, but all of the other studies are led by a player or a player's wife.
Well, that's discipleship though, right? Making discipleship makers, right?
That's discipleship. And that's it. And that's what we want. That's what we're striving to do.
I've also seen you, we've written a couple stories at sportspectrum.com. Because guys will share, hey, I got baptized, and then I see it's Johnny who's baptizing them, and a couple guys even at the facility or somewhere else. I have to imagine something like that has to be the most gratifying part of your job, is seeing a player or someone else. Maybe it's a staff member, but most of the time you'll see it from an outward, you know, announcement, being a player making that decision, saying I'm all in for Christ, I want to get baptized. That has to be incredibly gratifying.
Oh, it is. It just solidifies and confirm, you know, why we do what we do. I mean, that's the nuts and bolts of the discipleship and building the relationships with the players. And then when they come and say, hey, I want to get baptized, and then we're able to use the pool here in the facility to do that. It kind of just confirms, and God's just kind of telling you, you know, you're right where I want you to be. And it is fulfilling. Yeah.
Johnny, I see, you know, if you watch any NFL game, I've been to a couple this year and been able to go to games. I've been to Raven Stadium and seen a game there. Is it still M&T Stadium there? M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. There's always a prayer at the 50-yard line, the meet me at the 50 opportunity at the end of every game. Just tell me about that. It feels like such an awesome moment when you watch guys do battle for, you know, four quarters and go at it. Sometimes it's a blowout, sometimes it's close, sometimes it's a devastating loss, sometimes it's a great win, and yet you meet at the 50 to give praise and glory to God. Tell me about meeting at the 50-yard line.
Oh, the meet me at the 50 is very special, Jason. It's a time, as you mentioned, where we, as believers, the chaplains, the players, coaches, even whoever's involved and who want to come, it's just a sacred time to where we can get together and fellowship, but not only fellowship, but pray and honor God and give him thanks for the time. I talked earlier about being a good steward of our time, but we just want to touch and pray for each other and encourage each other, you know, from that time forward, moving forward, because it's a long season, you know, and we just want to be an encouragement. And it's so awesome to see other players come up and from the other team, and you see them, and those are the guys that you remember going forward, because we want to pray for them going forward. And it's a great time. And one thing that I've learned just this year, coming off of the pandemic and everything, is that every player don't know that we're praying. You know, you go across the field, they're looking for their former college teammates, they say hi, and then they leave. But what I found out this season was we had a couple of second year Christians. Pandemic and everything was going on last year, and I told them about meeting at the 50, and they said, you're doing what after the game? They had no idea, and they're in their second year. And so now these guys, they said, man, I'll never miss it again. You know, I would never miss this time, because it's a very, very special time for everyone.
So it's great to have Johnny Shelton here on Sports Spectrum's weekly slant. The culture that the Ravens have built has been one from afar that I've just been so impressed with. Obviously, on the field, you see a team that's fielding a competitive team every year. They're either in the playoffs or they're battling for a playoff spot, or in some cases going deep into the playoffs. Off the field, though, it appears that this culture that Coach Harbaugh has built has been such a unique one. For you, when you came in, how have you seen that culture. What was it like to kind of be, you know, indoctrinated, if you will, into this culture when you first came in? And now to see it, you said year nine, which, by the way, is really great, and your ninth year, and kind of see that and how it's kind of grown, because it's very rare that you would have a coach. He's one of the longest tenured coaches in the NFL, for sure. But to have that and be able to carry that now into year nine.
Yeah, it's great. The word you say, indoctrinated, I use the word absorb. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a culture like this, it actually reminded me somewhat of, I came here from Virginia Tech, and Virginia Tech was the same way with Coach Beamer in terms of the culture. It's something that when you come into the building, when you come into the place, and it's the people that's involved, you're absorbed by it. And as a chaplain, to be able to come in and you see leadership, and not only Coach Harbaugh, but at the time, Ozzie Newsome, general manager, strong man of God, our owner, Steve Bisciotti. I mean, they live what the culture here is all about. And so it exists, it exudes from them. And so that's why I use the word absorb. And as a chaplain, it's something that you just, I was just like blown away when, you know, when I first got here, to say, wow, you know, God, you're doing some amazing things here. And if I'm to be a part of this, you know, just have your way. And so it's amazing. And to see it happening and to be involved in it, it's so contagious. You know, and you just, and the people that's here from top down, you know, they realize what we're in.
I don't want to name names, and we never want to name names when we're talking about players because of confidentiality. And we don't, if we want to talk to those players directly and ask them about their faith, we will. I will ask you this, though. Over your 9 years, is there a story that you can share? And maybe you can name the name and maybe you can't. And again, that's okay. But a story that you can share of a guy who came to faith, who you were just like, wow, I can't believe the transformation that I've saw in this person from whenever I saw them and first got to work with them to where they came to. Can you share a story, maybe, again, whether you're comfortable with a name or not? I'll leave that up to you.
Oh, absolutely. I can share a few stories. One particular player, I won't say this player's name, but you know, he was a player who had experienced quote unquote church hurt, you know, to where, you know, he had been scarred from the church, you know, growing up. And so he was hands off, and he didn't really want to have anything to do with religious things, if you have him say it. And he just watched me the first couple of years, and I just build relationships is what I always say. Just get to know people, meet them right where they are, and I will go up and just continuously have conversations. And this share time that I mentioned earlier that we have, you know, I invite them on Saturday night, the night before our games, I would have just invite them to come to that. And he thought that it was a sort of a Bible study. And once he found out from other players that it was just something to come to and just talk and hear, you don't even have to talk, he showed up one night. And when he came to that share time and he heard the players talking about the issues that they're struggling with, things that are going on in their lives off the field, and he was just engulfed by it. And it reminded me so much of my personal journey, which is why I have these share times. That same thing happened to me in the church, where I went to men's fellowship breakfast on a Saturday morning, and I got engulfed in it. So the same thing happened to this young man. And so he started coming to see me more often in my office, which I thank God to this day of being able to be full time in the building, because he started just dropping in. You know, we started having small talk, small conversations. Mm-hmm. And then he came to me one day and he said, okay, this is off the record. He said, I'm having an issue. This is off the record. I don't want any biblical advice, you know, he said. And so he told me what his issue was. And God really spoke to me and was just giving me all these scriptures, Jason. And I'm sharing these scriptures with this young man. But I didn't tell him it was coming from the Bible. I was just sharing the scriptures through conversation. And as I was talking to him, it was soothing his soul. He was literally verbally coming out of his mouth. Like he was just like nourishing it, nourishment for his soul. Fast forward, this young man gave his life to Christ at the end of a chapel meeting. He was here 3 seasons. He, in his fourth season, had a contract, new contract to come up, and so he's no longer with our team. But he gave his life to Christ at a chapel, which I don't do an altar call after every chapel meeting per se. But this particular day, God led me to, just offer up and just ask someone that they want to give their life to Christ, and he gave his life to the Lord. It's an awesome thing, and we're connected to this day.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, there's so much there from that story, so many great things to hear. But the biggest thing I heard was relationship, 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 right? Like, so I think there's a lot of people who probably can relate as they watch this and listen to this to a story like that, where maybe they got hurt, maybe they were in a church setting and it just wasn't the best for them. But it's about the relationships and knowing and getting to know you and ultimately getting to know Jesus. Such a cool story. And it probably affirms you at least to know that, okay, God, this is why you put me here for such a time as this, as it says in the book of Esther, right? Like this was that moment.
No question about it. No question about it. And those things happen. And even though football is very structured, and there's a meetings at this time and meetings at that time, no day is the same. Even though the meetings and we have practices every day and the repetitions that way, but in terms of the personal issues, the personal things that are going on in their lives, every day is different.
Your story, you mentioned it because I think you relate to that share time because you went through that yourself. Your story is an interesting one. Growing up without a dad, kind of blooming late in your sports career and earning a college scholarship and going on to play college football, even dabbling a little bit in the NFL and with an undrafted free agent, contract, and then going into the corporate world before this opportunity to go into chaplaincy comes in. I'm really fascinated by your story. I don't know if we have time to tell it all because we could probably do 2 hours telling your story, Johnny. But when you think about where you were and where you've come from to where God has brought you to today, what emotions come to mind? What thoughts come to mind when you think about where you are now?
Man, it's overwhelming in terms of when you think about it. There's scriptures that talk about if it wasn't for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? And I think about that quite often, because when I look back over my life, fatherlessness, poverty, instability, financial instability, and all of those things, when I look back over that, the one thing that was constant, Jason, was a praying mother. My mother, who no matter where we moved, she had us in church. And the importance and the foundation of Jesus Christ in our life, that was the foundation. And so it's nothing that I have to, even though the word confirms that, my mom lived that. And for me and my sisters to be able to take that and run with it, man, it's just amazing. And that's why I do what I do. I went in corporate America, and even in corporate America, even in football, just seeing those things of the path that God had us on, the common denominator in all of those things was being able to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and owning that. Because there was a time where I didn't own it, but I always knew about it. And then I had to take it upon myself, which was 3 years into college, to where I literally owned my faith.
And then at what point are you thinking about this whole chaplaincy, and you mentioned Virginia Tech before you were with the Ravens. There's a pivot there. Something takes place where you say, I'm going into ministry, because, and I shouldn't say it like that, going into full-time ministry, because ministry, we all can be in ministry in all the different spheres of influence that we're in, whether we're working for a church or a faith-based organization like Sports Spectrum or not. But you took this leap. You said, okay, I'm going here, and Virginia Tech, the opportunity there, and then the Ravens. At what point does this happen for you where you say, okay, God, I'll surrender here. Let's do this.
Well, yeah, that started after when I knew football was over. You know, I had my little bit of time trying out for this team and that team, and I knew it was over. I took the job in corporate America for Procter & Gamble, and I was working for them. And then they transferred us from North Carolina, I mean, from California, I'm sorry, to North Carolina. And it was in North Carolina when I started going to the men's fellowship on Saturday morning through invitation, that my spiritual growth just shot through the roof. And I was growing exponentially during that time. And I'm working at Procter & Gamble, a great company. I just knew that I was going to be with that company for retirement because of what it brought to you, the benefits and all of those things. But God had other ideas. And as I grew spiritually, I knew I was being called just based on the things that I was doing and the gifts that was just being portrayed in terms of leadership and all of those things and relationship building and loving to teach young men because of my fatherlessness. You know, those things all came together, and that's when FCA came into the picture, to where I literally was on a board with FCA, served on the board with them, and then I started going to seminary at night, and I knew God was calling me, but I thought I was going to be a pastor because I loved youth pastoring. I loved all the things about the youth, but then a staff person from FCA was called to another location, and it was up to us as a board to find a replacement. And to make a long story short, I ended up being that replacement, and I left corporate America to go into parachurch ministry with Fellowship of Christian Athletes in North Carolina. And that's how the chaplaincy thing and all of those things came together right then and there.
Wow, what a great story. We love FCA. If anybody's watching who's affiliated with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, they are awesome. And they've opened up so many doors for athletes, especially those in high school and college, to begin a relationship with Jesus. So we love what FCA is about and what they stand for. You know, I'm always curious, Johnny, as we wind down, you do so much pouring into others, right? Like, you are there to talk to those guys in your office. You are there to have that open session about dialogue. You are there to teach them God's word. Whatever it is, you're pouring into others. Who pours into Johnny Shelton? How do you stay fed each and every day when you're doing so much of emptying your cup to others?
Oh, man, I'm intentional about that. I've learned there's this thing that's called burnout, and it's real.
Yes.
And I've learned through other people, namely, Tommy Nelson, he tells a story about burnout. And when he told that story, I was intentional. I have mentors, to answer your question. I have two mentors who pours into me all the time. And they're very intentional about that. And so I get that pouring in from those two guys, plus my wife. And then I attend a church here when I can in the off season. Right. So we have a pastor here that pours into me as well. So I'm very intentional about that because burnout is very real.
Yeah, it is. And you can see why it happens in so many different places too, right? Because burnout isn't just, you know, pouring into others in that sense, like you're describing, but it could be your work-related situation. It could be even sports, right? And athletes who play, and they feel, some of them, burned out And so they need to take a step back. So that burnout is very real. Johnny, this has been a great conversation. We've never actually done this to close a show before, but I figured we have a team chaplain here. This would be the perfect time for maybe to have you say a prayer for all of us and maybe pray us out of this conversation. And maybe those watching and listening, maybe there's an opportunity to hear a word from you as you close us out in prayer. Would that be okay?
That would be great. I'd be honored. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for just who you are, Lord. We thank you for opportunity to serve you on this day. You say this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And so, Lord, we're doing just that, Lord, rejoicing in you, rejoicing because you're God, rejoicing because of the people that you have placed in our lives. Lord, we're praying, Lord, right now that we are good stewards of the time that you have given us, Lord, of the treasures, Lord, that you have given us, Lord. Lord, we're rejoicing because all of the provisions, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, that we have so many things to do. And so, Lord, right now, I thank you for Jason. I thank you for this time for Sports Spectrum, Lord. And I thank you that we are able to be here because you have made provisions for us. And so, Lord, as we go about our day, Lord, today, we pray that you just order our steps. Lord, there's so many things out there that's going on in this world, Lord, but I pray that we right now will decrease while you increase, Lord, in our lives. And as we move forward, Lord, I pray, Lord, that each and every second we do not take for granted, Lord. Let us be good stewards of that time that you have given us. And Lord, in such that when people see us and when they hear us, Lord, let them get a glimpse of who Jesus Christ is. And so, Lord, we are forever grateful. And we give all this time to you, and we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Johnny.
You are welcome. You're welcome.
And many thanks to Johnny Shelton for being here today on Sports Spectrum. He originally appeared on Sports Spectrum's Weekly Slant a couple days ago, which you can actually watch this interview on sportsspectrum.com or at YouTube or Facebook. If you just search the Sports Spectrum Weekly Slant, you can actually watch this conversation. But when I was talking to Johnny, we actually had one question that we were able to ask him that did not appear on the Weekly Slant, and that was his answer here about what it was like to be a part of meeting at the 50-yard line at the end of every game. I just thought that was such a unique thing about the NFL. It's something that resonates with a lot of you who watch and listen. Seeing those players all come together at the 50-yard line and pray after the game, no matter what happened during the game, a blowout, close game, winner, loser, they come together at the 50 and they pray and they give thanks to God for another opportunity. Such a cool thing. And we appreciate Johnny for being here today on Sports Spectrum. He's got a great story, and hopefully we'll get him back on again someday and talk a little bit more about his story. We appreciate him. We thank you as well for tuning in. Again, don't forget the 52-week Increase devotional. It's available at Amazon. It's available at theincrease.com. The perfect holiday gift, 52 inspiring stories of faith from the world of pro sports, a devotional you can go through each week with someone or by yourself, encouraging you in your faith. You can pick it up at Amazon and at theincrease.com, the 52-week Increase devotional. By the way, the Increase, if you don't know what that means, it's John 3:30 in the Bible. John the Baptist talking about how Jesus must increase and we must decrease in that relationship. He must increase, we must decrease. That's where the idea of the increase comes from. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure that you click subscribe on this app that you're watching or listening to this podcast on so that you never miss an episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast, and then tune in next time for another edition of Sports Spectrum's podcast. Have a great rest of your day on this Football Friday. Have a great weekend of football, and we'll see you next time.